Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Clones, what's cracking? Welcome to the Daily Jungle, and what a freaking day that was. Let me be straight up. The Clones drove this one from start to finish, starting with an epic call and throat clear from my man Trapper, a call from Hannah in Denver, the response from Bella B, an email from Kay Savage, John in Little Rock, clapping back at Parody Larry from yesterday, racked calls from Tyler in Edmonton, Rick in Buffalo. He got his golden ticket back when he took a run at Vic. All of that and Dr. Dave getting the Christmas mashup treatment from our PhD on our staff, Dr. Alvin DeLauro. Mix all of that in with three excellent Wofford head basketball coach Mike Young after they went into the Dean Dome and they won. Buffalo Bills safety Jordan Poyer, Sooners guard Trey Young, the soon-to-be National Player of the Year. Alvy, what an incredible day this was. Get it rolling. The Daily Jungle starts right now. All right, starting first with the NFL, I want to talk about Ezekiel Elliott. He's back with the Cowboys, and he was back on the practice field for the first time yesterday since November 3rd. Teammates were raving about how he looked, about his energy and his attitude. And from the way that they talked, you could tell how pumped they were to have him back. Dak Prescott said, quote, "So I'm sure, like I said, I know it motivated him just watching the game and watching his teammates and his boys go out there and play. Obviously, him wanting to be out there, I know it lit a fire in him, and just seeing him in the way he's been performing and coming back, you can tell," end quote. Then Zach Martin said, quote, "He obviously brings a lot of energy, and it's great to have him back. He looks in great shape, looks ready to go, so it'll be exciting to see him play on Sunday," end quote. So they're feeling it, right? His teammates are really happy he's back. So Elliott finally comes back, and of course he's got to meet with the media. And well, let's just say that that did not go nearly as well. Normally I would not play the entire interaction with the media because it would just take too much time. But in this case, time is no concern at all because Elliott hit the media session like a hole that was about to close.
You're not going to talk about the prospect. Can you talk about what you did the last 6 weeks?
No.
About the documentary and what message do you want to come across through the documentary?
Just watch it. Tell me the message you get.
When's it going to come out?
I don't know.
Can you talk about at least what went into some of your conditioning?
I'm ready to talk about the Seattle Seahawks. I'm ready to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not speaking on it anymore.
Why is it that you don't want to talk about that?
All right, I'm done. Thank you.
I love this guy's attempt at beginning to declare that he's turning the page and, quote, "I'm not talking about it anymore. This is the last time you'll hear me speak about it, so please, don't even ask me about it," end quote. Like he just rolls out with that. That's the way he starts that interaction. You just come back from a six-week suspension. They can't not ask you about that, Zeke. That is the story, Zeke. The return of Ezekiel Elliott. It's the biggest story of the week for the team. The biggest story of the week in the NFL. What did you think they were going to ask you about? The game plan against Seattle? Your documentary? Oh, wait. They did ask you about that doc. And you butchered that, too. Honestly, the first question and answer really aren't that bad. But after that, it goes bad in a hurry for no particular reason. Let me run down the transcript for you. Quote, "Can you talk about what you've been doing for the past 6 weeks? Quote, "No." "What message do you want people to get from watching the documentary? Quote, "Just watch it. Tell me the message you get." End quote. "When is it coming out?" Quote, "I don't know." "What went into some of your conditioning?" Quote, "I'm ready to talk about the Seattle Seahawks. I'm ready to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not speaking on that anymore." End quote. "Why don't you want to talk about that six-week stretch?" Quote, "All right, I'm done. Thank you.
Now I'm done."
Listen, I'm not here to critique his interactions with the media. He can handle it any way he wants to. But I am going to say that's probably not the best way to handle it. Look, I get that this guy doesn't want to talk about his suspension, but that's part of the game here. You come back on your first day, you talk about it. You answer questions about it. And then you can say you never want to talk about it ever again. Handle it that way, and it probably does go away. But trying to shove it away and insist that you're not going to talk about it only makes it a bigger thing, especially when you're asked, "Why don't you want to talk about that six-week stretch?" And then you answer with, "All right, I'm done. Thank you." Hey, look, nobody wants to talk about your six-game suspension. But it's not like these were tough, soul-searching, soul-crushing questions. You weren't being grilled there. There was no 60 Minutes aspect to that. You were being asked things like, can you talk about what you've done for the past 6 weeks? I mean, that's a reporter who just wanted a little bit of info and gave you a very broad, very general question. You could have taken that any way you wanted. You could have taken that in any number of directions. You could talk about your training. You could talk about how frustrating it was not to be with the team. You could talk about how the documentary got made. Oh, and speaking of that, two of the six questions were specifically about your documentary. Two chances to plug a project that you were working on while you were away, and you swatted those away. What's the point of making a documentary if you don't want people to know when it's going to be out or what it's going to be about? What's the point then? The last five questions were, one, about what you've done for the past 6 weeks, two, about the documentary, one, about what you've done regarding your conditioning, and one, about why you do not want to talk about the last 6 weeks. And then he was gone. Again, I get it. If I were him, that suspension would be the last thing that I want to talk about. But being out for 6 weeks and then coming back, that's the first thing people are going to ask you about. Answer the question, then move on. Or don't answer the question, sabotage your rep a little bit more, and then let this thing linger a little bit longer. Hey, your call. Your call, Zeke. Just know you made the wrong call. And you handled this all wrong. Pretty much like most things off the field. So if anybody was hoping that this guy did some serious soul searching and came back a changed dude, obviously he did not. That's not a hard thing to handle, honestly. He made that way tougher than it had to be. Mike Young is my guest. Mike, it's great to have you on this morning. How are you?
Jim, I'm great. I hope you're well. Seems like I always talk to you in March. It's a treat to talk to you in December.
Mike, it's great to have you on the show, especially after what happened last night. Actually, always good to talk to you whenever it is. But you went into Dean Dome last night. You beat the defending national champs 79-75. Let me first start by asking you a question that you yourself posed on Twitter. How about them Terriers?
How about them Terriers? That's, you know, it's improbable. But you walk into that building with, a young team. We got a really young team, Jim. And a developing team. We've seen some glimpses here in the last couple of weeks. We beat what I think is a pretty good Georgia Tech team 10 days ago. Now, you're climbing a mountain. You're going to the Smith Center with Joe Barry, the defending national champions, number five ranked team in the country. And, you know, you expect your boys to go toe-to-toe and fight and find ways to win and play the game the right way, and that's exactly what they did. And we had some luck. You better get some luck in situations like that. But we're awfully excited about what has just transpired.
Mike Young joining us. You know, you kind of mentioned what I was going to talk about next. The fact that you've never been afraid to schedule tough non-conference opponents. You'd already beaten a traditional power like Georgia Tech. So that was the message. I mean, you kind of answered the question. This was your message to your team. Yet you walk onto the floor, and when you're in the Dean Dome, you can look up and see all those jerseys, all the true legends. It would be easy to get intimidated, but you and the team never gave that impression. How do you explain that aspect of it?
You know, having done it a number of times, just a level of expectation that, you know, it's not good enough to play well for a half. It's not good enough to, hang in there and get beat by 20. That's going to happen some, and don't get me wrong. We've had our tails whipped a time or two. But we do as we do for every game. We've got four things that we've got to do well. If we do these four things well, we're going to give ourselves an unbelievable shot to win. And that's exactly what we did last night. And so big one, anytime you play North Carolina, is to keep them out of transition. And I thought, all in all, we did a great job of that. We rebounded the ball. I mean, they were number one in the country in a couple of rebounding categories, and they out-rebounded us too. That's competing. That's fighting and being physical. And, great, great night for us, Jim. Great night.
Great night, Mike. So if you want to keep them out of transition and you want to go to the boards, I would imagine number three has got to be limit your own turnovers. What's the fourth thing?
Offensive poise, shot selection, teams like that. you know, great team. Teams are great in transition. A bad shot is essentially a turnover. And a live ball turnover is, North Carolina knocking it down, going the other way for an easy basket. And those just kill you. If you can get them to the half court and make them work, which we were able to do. Jim, holding North Carolina, I don't know the final score of the game, 79-75, holding them to 75 points, that's a big deal. That's not easy to do. But we did it, and by and large, the reason we won.
Clones, let me talk to you about Stamps.com. Listen, these days, you can get practically everything on demand, such as our podcast. Listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. So let me ask you, why are you still going to the post office and dealing with their limited hours when you can get postage on demand with Stamps.com? Anything that you can do at the post office, you can now do right from your desk. As an example, the holidays are coming up. My wife, Janet, is all about the Christmas card. We send out hundreds, literally hundreds of Christmas cards, and there's no way we could do it without Stamps.com. I'm going to print my own postage. I'm going to do it when I want and do it at home. Trust me, with the holidays coming up, you should do the exact same thing, and you'll thank me for it. Go to Stamps.com, hit the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Jungle. That's Stamps.com, enter Jungle for a special, special offer. A four-week trial, which includes postage and a digital scale. Do not wait. You want to go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, hit the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Jungle. That's Stamps.com, enter Jungle. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office ever again. I know I won't. That's Stamps.com, and now it's back to our Daily Jungle. Big, big win last night. Mike Young, my guest. You know, it seems to me also what's really impressive about this is you didn't win this game with a buzzer beater. You were up by 14 at one point and had stretches where you truly dominated the game. So what's that mean for the confidence of this group going forward?
Oh, gosh. It's enormous. They understand. They understand what just transpired. We did not start very well. We weren't very good. I didn't do a very good job with them, to be honest. But we've seen some glimpses. And now, the last game before heading into the break and into league play, December 30th, as you mentioned, to go into this stretch with that win under your belt, that's huge. That's a big deal. We'll take a couple of days off and get them back to 26th, and those practices will be a lot of fun leading into the Greensburg game.
Mike Young joining us. I'm trying to make sure, Mike, that the listeners know exactly what that win represents to you, to the program. I mean, you're now in your 16th season as the head coach there, your 29th season overall with that school, and you were there when it was still a Division II program. So what does a win like that mean to you personally? I know you don't want to make it about you, but make it about you for 1 minute. What's it mean to you personally, given how long you've been at that program and the work you put in?
I'll make it for 30 seconds. I grew up in Southwest Virginia, and we were all humongous North Carolina fans. We were fortunate enough to beat NC State in Reynolds Coliseum with all that history 2 years ago, which was my favorite non-league win. Conference championships are everything. Going to the NCAA tournament is absolutely the ultimate. But to walk in last night to the Smith Center with the thoughts and the memories of Dean Smith and Phil Ford and Mitch Kupchak and all those names, and to walk out of there with a win, that's indescribable. And we did it, and we're awfully happy about it.
That's such good stuff. Mike Young, my guest. Now, when you came back on this show in 2015, you did so when you reached the tournament, and we talked about the fact that you're having all of this success at one of the smallest schools in Division I with less than 1,700 students. For people who are not familiar with the school, how would you describe it and the atmosphere that surrounds your basketball program?
Incredible academically, rigorous, difficult school to get into. Outstanding faculty. We produce a disproportionate number of medical types that go into medical school, law school. Business department is off the charts. My wife is a Wofford graduate and a partner with PricewaterhouseCoopers. It is a beautiful community and an incredible campus, and there's a lot of reasons why I've stayed as long as I've stayed. I've got a great situation, and I realized that a long time ago. Worked for a great man, and Richard Johnson. And, you know, grass isn't always greener on the other side. We got a good spot, and we think we can keep it going.
It's so rare, too, especially in your business where everybody's always looking for the next thing, the big thing. The grass isn't always greener. Now, when you and I spoke back then, it was also evident how much you loved your team and their attitude. It's pretty clear you love this team's heart as well. And is heart and attitude, are these things that you can recruit for? And then how can you tell when a player has the intangibles that you're looking for?
I think that's really hard. I think that is a little bit of luck, and I think that is a little bit, you know, indoctrinating that young man into who you are, who your program is, and this is how we do things, and this is who we are, and, you know, we're not going to deviate. We have a sign in our locker room, you become us, we don't become you. And I took that from somebody like I do most of the things that I share with my team. You become us, we don't become you. And I've always felt very strongly about that. And, you know, we do have really, really nice young people from nice families, and they make it a lot of fun to go on the practice floor every day, to go on the road with, to compete at places like Chapel Hill and other areas. So great fun, man. Great fun, Jim.
My man, that is great fun. What a tremendous line, too. You don't become us, we become you. Or you become us, we don't become you. Listen, one last thought, Mike. Yeah, there you go. One last thought. You mentioned this. It's like a mountaintop experience last night. You want to make sure that they enjoy that and they understand that. You get some time off before your conference schedule begins. But how do you go about making sure that they enjoy that mountaintop experience, but they're ready to work once again when it's time?
Yeah, I don't have any concern about that. We have the added bonus now. You know, typically you win a big game like this, like we beat NC State, I got to come back in 48 hours and play again, for goodness sakes.
Right.
Could we not enjoy it for, you know, 3 or 4 days? We're going into the Christmas holiday. So, you know, we're all on our way to, you know, our families and so on. We come back the 26th. You know, that will give those guys a chance to become grounded again. And, you know, while we're awfully young, we've got great internal leadership, and those guys will communicate the right things. That is not going to be the climax of our season. That's not what we're, you know, in this thing for. There are bigger things to achieve, and, you know, more games to win, and we've, you know, keep chipping away at it. We showed unbelievable poise and glimpses of what this team can become. But still a lot of work to do. What? A lot of work to do, and I look forward to getting them back on the 26th and getting back after it.
Remember last week when Dr. Dave made one of the worst decisions of his life, when instead of staying down and feigning dead, he picked up a phone and he tried to throw a counterpunch from off the ropes at Vic and NoCal. Not only did he miss badly when he tried that, he actually swung himself right into the canvas, face first, and I think my man's still there right now, napping it out. Hey, Dave, what's going on? How are you? Go ahead, Doc. You're on the air.
Jim, how's it going?
Good, good. What's up?
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Still good. What's up?
Hey, I hope you. Not much, man. I hope you and Alvin got your flu shots and got award the best new jungle scope out there, the wood scope. Sorry for the late response, Vic, but unlike you, my position in this world has something of substantial community value. While you spend your time perfecting the perfect selfie, I spend my day recovering, saving dying children. Oh, sorry, Jim. I'm done.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Yeah, that phone call gets better and better every time I hear that. And by better and better, I mean worse and worse. I should have stopped that fight the second he asked me how I was doing twice. But I didn't. And history was made only a few moments later. So, now that piece of audio gets filed away in the forever pile, where it will be reset on a regular basis for the rest of time. Unfortunately for Dr. Dave, I've got a doctor on the staff, Dr. Alvin DeLauro. He got his PhD in reconstructive audio surgery. Remember right around this time last year when Raider Mike got the holiday mix treatment from Doc DeLauro?
And you don't.
If Alvin DeLauro did that last year, you don't think that he was going to do something to Doc Dave, because he was not going to jump on that, because he was not going to add that to his Christmas hits catalog. Fact is, Doc, you left Alvin no choice whatsoever. You sealed your own fate when you picked up the phone to respond to Vic. We all make our own choices, and then our choices ultimately make us. And that was a really, really bad choice, Doc, because it led directly to this.
Jim, how's it going?
Good, good. What's up?
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Still good. What's up?
Oh, sorry, Jim. 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 Oh, sorry, Jim.
Saving dying children. Perfecting the perfect selfie.
Saving dying children.
Substantial community value.
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Oh, sorry, Jim.
I'm done.
Saving dying children. Alvin DeLauro, there you go. I've got that Christmas party coming up tomorrow night, and Janet's constantly like, can we have some Christmas music, please? Can you put some Christmas music on? Yes, dear, I can. I'm going to bump that all night long on a loop, the two of those songs. So if you're looking for that holiday banger, you can find it at the very top of the Spotify Ultimate Christmas Playlist, streaming right now at number one. Now, we already had one vote this month. Why not have one more to end the year with? Hit me up on Twitter right now. Which Dr. DeLauro holiday mashup do you like better? Raider Mike or Dr. Dave? Let me know. And my man Dave, see this? I respect that you wanted to fight back, but it was not a good idea. It just was not a good idea. But thank you for the gift that just keeps right on giving. Oh, by the way, Doc, my man, it's all good. It's all good. In fact, it's so good, I will see you tomorrow in the year in review. Jordan Poyer is my guest. Jordan, it's so good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Jordan, great to visit with you. I know you're focused on Sunday, but can you first take us back to the Dolphins game? You had a huge performance in a must-win game. What was the atmosphere like in Buffalo for that game? And then how good did it feel to come out the way you guys did?
Oh, yeah, first the atmosphere was crazy, man. You know, our fans came. You know, it was a little cold, but they came out of there roaring. It was a fun atmosphere, and to come out with a victory is even bigger for this team and for this fans and for this organization, man. So we just want to keep our foot on the pedal and keep moving forward.
Jordan, you know how the Bills Mafia is. It doesn't matter what the elements are. It does not matter how cold it is. They're going to come out and represent. You know that. It's your first season. It's your first season in Buffalo, but do you already have a sense as to how much the Bills mean to the community and what it would mean to reach the playoffs and break the drought?
Yeah, I mean, just the fans out here, like you've already said, man, they're hungry, they're crazy, you know, they're itching for that playoff spot. And so, you know, we come into work every day, you know, understanding the circumstances that we're under, and you know, just want to do it for this community, for these fans, and for this organization, you know, to, like I said, keep moving forward you know, put a good performance out there on Sunday.
Jordan Poyer, my guest. Well, the next challenge, of course, is New England. You're in their house on Sunday. So as a safety, how do you go about dealing with Tom Brady and the rest of that Patriot offense?
You know, you just understand the things they do well, understand, you know, who their offense, you know, flows through. Obviously, it's obviously 12 and then, you know, 87. And so, you know, just awareness for our win to get that home field advantage. And, you know, we want to win and keep moving forward. And so, you know, it's going to be a fun atmosphere. But like I said, it's a tough offense to go against, tough football team. And, you know, it's got to be ready for everything.
Safety, Jordan Poyer from the Bills joining us. You mentioned 87. You go back to week 13. Obviously, there was that incident where Rob Gronkowski hit Tre'Davious White well after the whistle. What was your reaction at that time? And is this all in the past, or does that still bother you?
You know, my reaction at the time was, you know, I had really never seen anything like that in a football game, you know, whether it's playing or watching it. So I was just, you know, kind of just really shocked. It was like, what, you know, is this real? Like, is this really happening right now? Like, you know, what's going on? But, you know, end of the day, you know, we're focused on this game, man. We can't let, you know, old things bother us. And obviously, yeah, we want to use it to fuel us and use it to, you know, help us create preparation and focus. And so, but we're not, you know, we're not worried about it. We're focused on ourselves and focused on what we have to accomplish on Sunday in order to win this football game.
Jordan, I mentioned at the top of the interview, you're having a really, really good year. In fact, this stat, you're the only player in the NFL with 85 tackles, 3 interceptions, and 2 sacks. So your name is coming up as one of the Pro Bowl snubs. I'm curious how you feel about that. I mean, are you honored on some level to be mentioned as a Pro Bowl snub, or does it bother you that you didn't get named to the Pro Bowl given the year you're having?
You know, they even be in that conversation with the guys that, you know, are in there. That's a blessing in itself. You know, I'm not worried about being snubbed or this or that. You know, just be able to be in that conversation and, you know, kind of be able to go in this offseason understanding, you know, what I can do in this league and use it as motivation, you know, for next year. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not down on it. It is what it is. You know, there's great players in this league and they got the opportunity to go play in the Pro Bowl, and so I'll just use it as motivation for next year. And I just want to continue to work for my team and work for my teammates to keep building this thing.
You know, it's a great attitude, but it seems to me there's even more to this story. I mean, to fully appreciate the season that you're having right now, I think you have to go back to last year. You were playing for Cleveland against the Titans, and then you took a big shot during a game. You were able to walk off the field, but as you were walking off, you knew something was not right. What did you feel? What was happening in that moment?
Yeah, it's a crazy scenario. Like I said, I was running down my punt. I got blindsided, and initially I just thought the wind was knocked out of me. And, I got up, and, I just felt something wasn't right, and my stomach just felt really tight. And so I got over to the sideline, and I started throwing up blood. I went to the locker room. You know, I started peeing blood. So it was a scary situation. I put me in the ambulance, went to the doctor. Stuff like that, you know, it made me stronger. You know, I was out from week 6 all the way, finally got cleared to be able to do physical activity January 15th. And so, not doing anything for a couple months. I kind of had to play catch up when I started training again. So, it's been a blessing in disguise. You know, I learned a lot throughout that whole process. And I'm just blessed to be able to put the cleats on again, put the jersey on again, and continue to play football.
Jordan, that's why you're different than the rest of us. I mean, you're in warrior mode right now. You're not saying exactly what happened. Just one more thought on that. You were diagnosed with a lacerated kidney, and doctors told you a half an inch higher or a half an inch lower, and it might have been life-threatening. You know what you signed up for. You know the inherent risks in the game. But when we're talking about something like that that might be life-threatening, and you hear that from a doctor, what goes through your mind?
Really, it was just, at that moment, honestly, it was, am I going to be able to play football again? You know, that's really the only thing I asked him, you know, after he told me that, am I going to be, and he kind of looked at me like I was crazy. And then, you know, my adrenaline going so much, you know, at the time, and then I kind of was able to sit back and kind of, you know, like I said, it was almost a blessing that, you know, it didn't happen that way, you know, because I could be sitting here today, you know, not talking to you or anything like that. So, lacerated kidneys is not something that you really want to mess with. In the physical activities wise. So, I mean, it's internal bleeding. And so, and it's an organ that's, you know, helping keeping you alive. So, it was a really, really scary deal. I know my family was all scared for me. But like I said, man, just to be able to, get cleared and all the doctors gave me 100% thumbs up. And once I got that, man, I just hit the ground running again. I felt like I had to play catch up. So I trained really hard this offseason. I was a new father at the end of the year last year. My daughter will be 1 on the 30th, so it gave me a lot of motivation, got a lot of drive to, you know, be who I wanted to be and really be who everybody thought I couldn't be. And so it's just been a long journey, but, like I said, it's a blessing to be here and play with these guys and be on this football team.
Jordan, what's it like to be a new father? There's no playbook for that, is there?
There's no playbook for that. There's nothing you can read that'll prepare you for a new father, especially a new girl.
Jordan Poyter, my guest, no doubt. I don't know about that. I've got 2 sons, but I know how challenging that can be. So one last thought. When you talk about what you just went through, and you made it all the way back, and you're having an amazing year, you're also the team's Ed Block Courage Award winner for this comeback. What's that honor mean to you?
Man, I didn't even see it coming. And, when they announced it and said my name, I was truly honored. And I felt really blessed to just be voted by my peers, by my teammates for that award, you know. I almost put everything in perspective. You know, like I said, I worked really hard this offseason, and it kind of showed my hard work, you know, through my teammates and them seeing that and seeing me come back from what I had to come back through. And, it was awesome. I got a lot of support, a lot of love from family and friends. And so it was definitely a huge honor for me.
Trey Young, Trey, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Trey, I'm awesome. You're coming off that huge game on Tuesday night. You set that conference record. You tied the NCAA record for most assists with 22. I know you're looking ahead, but if I could get you to look back for 1 minute, what do you remember most about that night?
I mean, it was a great night. Definitely a night I won't forget. I mean, like I was telling my teammates, I'm just thanking them after the game for knocking down shots. I mean, unlike getting a rebound or scoring or getting steals, assisting is a team stat because you need other people to score. And so that's I was more happy for my teammates that night more than anything. So that was good.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like maybe the assist might mean even more to you than scoring the ball yourself. Why is that?
That's just how I've been raised. I'm just such a team player. I put my teammates before anything else. I mean, they without them playing well, without them, I mean, doing the things they're doing right now, I don't even think I would be doing the same. So I've just always been that way, and I don't want to change that.
Trey Young joining us. Now, the thing is, that's not the first time you've done something amazing. As an example, the game before, you had 29-10 in the win over number 3, Wichita State. Shockers head coach Greg Marshall said after that game, "I have never seen a freshman guard that I've coached against that plays at that level," end quote. So I got to ask, are you at all surprised by how you and the team have started this season? Or when you look at the way you played in high school, where you averaged 43 a night, does it all seem pretty normal and natural to you?
Well, I knew coming in I wasn't going to average 42 points at this level, but I'm not going to say I'm surprised by the way I'm playing just because I put so much work and preparation coming into the season that I expected to be playing like this, and I saw my teammates doing the same, putting in extra hours, sleeping right, eating right, just preparing for the season. So I was expecting us to have this type of season just because of how hard we worked and, I mean, everybody buying into what Coach Kruger is installing in us. And I just expected just because of the hard work and preparation.
You know, I'm going to ask you about Lon Kruger in a minute, but when you talk about, I just know that at this level, you got to get your sleep, you got to eat right. I mean, you're talking about things, Trey, that a lot of guys don't figure out until they get to the association, and maybe not then. You're a freshman in college. How is it that you're able to take responsibility and ownership of things like eating right and sleeping right?
I just feel like it's the people around me. I mean, my dad played at a very high level. I mean, just being able to be blessed with the opportunity to talk to guys like Chris Paul, the guys like, KD, Russ. Like, I was just able to be able to talk to those guys and pick their brain and just be able to know what it's like to play 82 games, and then them tell me to how to treat my body, how to prepare right, watch film, just all those little things. I just feel like I got a head start just because I was able to be blessed enough to talk to those guys and to pick their brains a little bit.
Well, I know it's true because Russell Westbrook was hyping you the other day, talking about all the work that you have clearly put in and how amazing it is to see what you're doing right now. So what's it like to hear that from the reigning NBA MVP, to hear the MVP talk about you like that?
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, that just shows that, I mean, my hard work is paying off. And, I mean, when a guy like Russ is complimenting me on my game, I mean, it's awesome and humbling. But that just shows, I mean, I have that much more to work on and to keep it going. I don't want to stop here. I'm not where I want to be, and I got a lot to continue to work on. But that's awesome. But that's just even more motivating.
Oklahoma guard Trey Young, my guest. You mentioned your dad. Your father, Ray, played college ball at Texas Tech. He played professionally in the U.S. and in Europe. He told CBS that when you were growing up, you were a really good catch-and-shoot guy, but he made the point to you that if you're going to be 6'1 or 6'2 and you're not a point guard, you're probably going to have to go Division II, and then you start to work on your skills. So when did you first really start to commit to your ball handling and your distribution?
My dad did put me on the spot a little bit there. I used to just be a catch and shoot on the wing. That used to be all I could do. I didn't want to dribble the ball. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to catch and shoot. But it got around probably eighth grade. Heading into my high school season, I really focused on ball handling all summer and knowing that, I mean, like my dad said, I mean, if I'm going to be a 6'2 point guard, I'm going to have to be able to, to play, I mean, to put the ball on the floor and be a true point guard. But he always wanted me and encouraged me to continue to work on my shot, because that could be a weapon that I could use someday and something that I could use. And he told me, like, if I wanted to be serious about basketball, I had to work on everything and continue to try to be a true point guard.
Trey Young, my guest. Hey, Trey, listen, talking to me is not a real big deal. I'm not a real big deal myself, but I've done this long enough to know that a lot of players in college have not had the reps. They haven't dealt with the media or even the national media. So sometimes it's kind of a challenging thing. You're a freshman and you're handling this just fine. And I bring this up because your assistant coaches have talked about you've been a celebrity in Norman for a while now. So you seem really comfortable with it all. Are you, or is all this attention a little bit strange?
I mean, whenever I get the opportunity to talk to a guy like you, Mr. Rome, I mean, I feel like I've done something right. So this isn't overwhelming. I enjoy it, but I knew coming in, if like my AAU coach told me in high school, that winning takes care of everything. So I knew coming in, if we won, and I was playing well, and my team was playing well, everything would come. And so far, we're on the right track, and I'm on the right track, and I just want to continue to keep it going, and that's just what motivated me. But none of this is really overwhelming. It's just, I know it's a process, and I'm just taking it all in stride.
I want to stress once again that you're a freshman in college, and the stage does not seem too big. You don't seem too overwhelmed by anything. You seem utterly fearless on the court, but you have admitted to being afraid of only one thing, birds.
Oh.
Bro, I get this. Birds are unpredictable. You don't know if birds are going to come at you. It's hard to know what to do or what they're going to do. I mean, do you grab a bird? Do you swat at the bird? There's so many different challenges. So what's it like when you see a bird? And then how are your teammates about that? Are they supportive, or do they kind of crack on you for it?
Oh, they definitely crack on me. It's something that they've gotten a good laugh at. I mean, when we were overseas in the summertime, we would be on the beach, and there would be birds flying around everywhere. And, I mean, you know how it is on the beach. I mean, birds aren't scared of humans. And so they definitely crack on it. They always wanted to eat outside just so they can see me get scared a little bit. But, no, I mean, that's definitely that's my biggest fear is birds. But, yeah, my teammates get a good laugh.
Dude, that's so funny. No, let's not eat inside. Let's go outside where the birds are. There's no birds in here. Let's take it outside. Listen, one last thought. When you have the year or the career you had in high school, you're going to get a lot of attention on the recruiting trail. You could have gone anywhere, known a program for a long time. Ultimately, what was it about Oklahoma that made you feel like that was the right place?
I just felt like I was going to be able to accomplish what I would at a Kentucky in Kansas. I could do that here. And with Coach Kruger and knowing his background with the way he lets his guards play, I just felt like it fit my game perfect. And I knew the pieces that they had on this team last year to be able to help me in that phone call to Coach and telling them that to the process and what Coach Kruger had for this team and what he had visioned for me in my future. So. It's great that my family is just 10 minutes up the road and they can come to, all my games and all my practices that they want to and experience this journey with me.
Trapper, my brother, how are you?
Pretty good, Jimmy. How you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, bro.
A mug. Oh, my Lord. Congratulations on the new gig, buddy.
Thank you very much.
A couple things come to mind, among others. It's the year of the comeback. We saw Clemson take down the Tide in Tampa with a second to go. Yep. In the NFL, I think Brady and the Pats overcame that 28-3 deficit. In the Champion League, now that we're talking soccer, Barcelona staged that three-goal comeback starting in the 87th minute to beat Paris Saint-Germain, unheard of in the real football. For me, the best of all had to be the Strohs taking down the heavily favored Dodgers in seven. Say what you want about the greatest game in World Series history, but I think, up until this year, it might have been Game 6, 75 between the Reds and the Red Sox, but I think Game 2 exceeded that and cemented why baseball is still the national pastime. What else? Fond farewell to Junior in NASCAR. Long overdue farewell to Danica. Personal jungle favorite, Jim Leff and Richie Flores pulling the old school together for the smack-off. Who do we have? Silk, IRA, Joey from Lemon Grove, Richie from Anaheim Hills. Kerwin showed up, which was so cool. Coach Tom, Terrence, Jimmy Benton. And also, Benny from Wisco and left just goes to show how the talent just keeps coming, pal. On a personal note, you'll get some of the picks probably today. On a personal note, my brother and editor, Bronson, scored two of the lottery ticks for Bruce on Broadway, Springsteen on Broadway. After the show, and I had written a couple articles about Bruce. I write an article that's been it's picked up by a few papers in Oregon and here in NoCal. Anyhow, I sent it to Dave Marsh and sent it to the theater. After the show, security flagged us down and said Bruce wanted to meet me.
Dude, come on. Trapper, is that true?
Yeah, you're going to get a copy of the pictures at 10:30 this morning. I also sent a couple of copies of my closing arguments. You know, when I was doing a lot of pro bono cases for the homeless in Orange County when they were doing sweeps, and I quoted Bruce in those closing arguments. I sent those to him as well. And I guess from the lottery tickets, they could guess where we were seated. We're walking out, and all of a sudden, the side door opens up, and this burly fellow in a jacket, and you can see the piece. And I'm thinking, shit, excuse the language, but I'm thinking, darn, statute of limitations is running all my stuff. He says, you're John Alexander. I said, yeah, you have the advantage. And he goes, well, Bruce would like to meet you. So we went to a cordoned off area, and Bruce and Patty came out. We spent a few minutes with Bruce and Patty. We talked about old times. Down the shore, we laughed about meeting each other almost 50 years ago when we were both teenagers in our Asbury Park. All in all, my brother, a very good year. Going through a little bit of a rough patch with this bone cancer, but we're going to be trying a new blood and bone infusion treatment in January, and I'm pumped. It's funny, Jimmy, how they tell you it's stage four, and they always throw this word terminal in hell. When is life ever not for terminal for anybody? I honestly could go tomorrow, and it would be with a smile because I never got cheated. Some of the great ride in this life, Jim, has been to hang with you and the brothers in the jungle through the good, the bad, and the ugly. You have been loyal to me, my brother, and that's something a Jersey guy never forgets. As Augustus said, it was a hell of a party, weren't it, Woodrow? But like Yogi said, it ain't over till it's over. And it ain't. Jimmy, all the best. God bless you. Trance like us, babe. I'm out.
My man, Trapper. Appreciate the phone call very much, Trapper. Very, very much, as I do the loyalty, the friendship, and your unbelievable and unwavering support to this show, to the program, to the clones. You've always been there. Let's go to Calgary. Generally, when you go to Canada, it's a good thing. It's fine. They're not like us. They're better than us in a lot of regards. Let's go to Bob in Calgary. Nice to have you on, Bob. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Romy. Was that Trapper clearing his throat or Sarah Jessica Parker pulling her head out of a bag of oats?
That's not a good call. No.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I don't know, Bob. John in Little Rock. Hey, John, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, Rome? Appreciate the vine. Happy holidays to everyone. I know somebody's going to come up short without a Christmas ham. So, Larry, stuff two furry apples in your throat because it's time for you to roast, you pig. Hey, yo, Larry from Cali, what the heck did you say? You stepped on bubble gum. I'm the king of the day. Hey, yo, Larry from Cali, I'm your auntie's lover. I bring the lethal weapon just like Danny Glover. Yo, Larry from Cali, I'm the blaze in the blender. 1 year parody king, bitch, you're the pretender. Yo, Larry from Cali, you're sucking the chainsaw. About to hit the gas just to rip your jaw off. Hey, yo, Larry from Cali.
There you go, John in Little Rock. Merry Christmas, John. Hey, Matt, I got you. What's up, Matt?
Matt, first off, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. New York is going to be going off on January 2nd like that sign in Times Square, baby. Hey, We all know what the best jungle moment of the last year was, my man, and that was the dropping of the Jim Rome podcast, a.k.a. my VM spot. Hey, Romy, on the real, we really appreciate everything you've given us, man. It's a platform for us to get some things off of our chest, but more importantly, the stuff that you bring on that podcast, man, not just the, you know, occasional F-bomb or S-bomb, but just the actual in-depth interview process that you exhibit on that show is second to none, my man. So I just wanted to give you props. War Todd Gurley snatching the MVP from Tom Terrific, and War Trapper coming home, baby. Outro.
You got it, Matt. Thanks a lot. We go to Hannah in Denver, War Lady Clones. Hey, Hannah, what's up? How are you?
Merry Christmas, Pimp in the Box. Thanks for extending the vine. I just got to say, got a couple things on my Christmas wish list and hoping we get a new quarterback here in Denver and a new head coach. But I heard you going all in on the Brock Lobster the other day, and I got to say, we got to hold off on that because beating the Colts three times in a row is the equivalent of Liz in Fall City going yard on Bella Bag's face with a hacky sack while standing at arm's length distance. War my man Mark B in San Diego. He's fighting cancer along with Trapper. War Trapper and War the Lady Clones. Jimmy, I'm out.
Hannah, War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Let's go back to Calgary. Bella. Bella, what's going on? How are you?
Hi, Jim. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great, Bella. It's good to hear your voice.
I want to apologize for Bob in Calgary. I don't know who he is, but every Bob I've ever met in my life, we always call Bob the Knob, so he fits that bill. So let me just jump into that Manna in Denver call, because I got a DM from Neil in Cleveland saying that Manna called me a bag, but I said, no, I didn't hear it. But obviously, Manna did call me a bag. So I just have to respond to that, because...
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like
Bella,
that call.
Bella, mm-hmm.
Not a very
Bella,
good call.
Bella, 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 you know I... Tyler, Happy New Year. What's up?
What's up, Rome? How's it going?
Good, good. Tyler, what's up with you? How are you?
I'm good, man. Looking forward to seeing you on Wood Scope on Friday. First off, my apologies for Bob and Calgary. That city is full of pathetic wannabe cowboys that have never seen a horse in their life, man. They got some weird complex going on there. Calgary, unwarranted cowboy hats make you guys look like morons. Anyway, Romy, I wanted to personally thank you and the crew for the Canadian love in 2017. Canada and the U.S., we have had our differences, and I know myself and Matt have thrown our fair share of fat blasts at you guys, but today I want to send some love and a very Merry Christmas from all of Canada. And I want everyone in America to know that you shouldn't feel guilty this holiday season. When you squeeze on that Christmas sweater that you swear fit you last year, don't be embarrassed. Just blame it on the dryer. When you stop at McDonald's on the drive over to the Christmas dinner, be proud. Hold that cheeseburger to the sky and let everyone know that this holiday season, you aren't going to bitch out on that third plate just to be polite. No, 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 not this year. No amount of manners will save you now. Vegetables are for the weak. Gravy is the drink of champions. You are Americans. Do yourselves proud, America.
Exactly what I want to see. Get in here. You're running out of time. Rick, how are you? What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. Not sure how it's all going to play out, but this is the Bills' best look at the playoffs since the Drew Bledsoe era. I realize a win over the Patriots is a lot to ask for, but the least someone can do is take a few good shots at Gronk's knees. The crap he pulled a few weeks ago is unforgivable, and I'll be pissed if there isn't any retribution. Now, Jim, did anyone else find it strange that Vic and NoCal took a run at Dr. Dave in Chicago last week? And by strange, I mean completely effing cowardly. You think a so-called made man would be going after guys like Brad, Left, and Mike? Instead, Victor's taking swings at perpetual jungle punching bags. Just another prime example of how far the once mighty Vic and NoCal has fallen. Vic's no longer the Broadway Joe guaranteeing Super Bowl wins. He's the drunken idiot throwing himself all over Susie Culber. So as the new year approaches, Victor, you're better off sticking to your oh-so-clever political commentary on Twitter, because your time as a jungle heavyweight is officially over. Taking a run at Dr. Dave. God, you're a loser. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and the crew, Jim. See you on the simulcast. I'm out.
That's it for now. One show left, and it happens to be the year in review. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for turning today into an awesome show. Now, TGIF, The Grind, includes Friday, the very last one of 2017. Check back tomorrow. See you then. I'm out.